Welcome to Mindset for Medical Moms. I'm your host, Courtney Given, fellow medical mom and life coach. I'm here to help you handle everything from doctor's appointments to surgery so you can feel confidence and peace as you navigate the ups and downs of medical motherhood. This podcast will share strategies and real life tools to strengthen your mindset and increase your emotional resilience. I'm so glad you're here. Let's go. Hello, beautiful medical moms. It's July. Can you believe this? I hardly can. I have been thinking how crazy it is how fast time is moving as an adult. Like, as a child, things went by so slowly, and it is so fast. And now we're halfway through 2023. It's summertime, which can be extra busy, and I wanted to do this episode as a way to check in with yourself and your own self-care. This is a episode that is dear to my heart because I found myself slipping in a lot of ways because, you know what? Our human brains go unconscious. In my coaching practice, what I help my clients do is be conscious of your thoughts and your thinking and your feelings and your actions and how that all interconnects and how it creates something in your life. And sometimes we don't like what it creates. Sometimes we're oblivious to what it creates. And this is not a bad thing. This is not a negative thing. This is just what happens because we're human. And so sometimes we're like very intentional and conscious of one area of our life, but not as conscious as another area. And I have felt some of my self-care slipping in ways that were impacting me. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about this, that I am not taking care of myself in this way. So today we're going to talk about what is self-care. And self-care is a buzzword. It's used in many different ways and has lots of different definitions. I don't love how it's portrayed in social media because it always seems to be linked to some kind of surface level solution that isn't really going to help long-term things. But I do think it's an important piece of your mental and emotional health. And so that's why I want to talk about it today. Your well-being matters, and it starts with your individual actions on how you're taking care of yourself. So I want to talk today about what it is, what it's not, and how to think about it in your life, how to consider where you are and what changes you want to make in your own self-care. So first, self-care is literally the basics of taking care of yourself. And this seems really simple, but most women, especially mothers, are socialized to not take care of themselves. We are taught to put ourselves on the back burner with a very low heat on a simmer so you can barely feel the warmth, but it's just warm enough to keep going, right? Like, we really put ourselves on the back burner. We put ourselves last on the to-do list. We do the very, 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 very bare minimum to keep ourselves afloat. And even then, it's not even that much. And we get this idea that taking care of yourself, literally the most basic things, like going to the bathroom or taking showers or needing some sleep, are somehow going to harm our family, making you a neglectful mom or making you ignorant of others' needs or selfish. And I just want to get rid of this idea immediately. I just want to get in front of it. This is not true, my friends. As someone who was actually emotionally and physically neglected as a child, when I think about my mother's own mental health and I think about my own family, and I can see there's a lot of introspectiveness going on of like, okay, I can see how much differently I'm taking care of my family. And sometimes this might resonate with a few of you that, like, when you start having your own kids, you are starting to see the ways that maybe you weren't taken care of because of the things you're doing with your children. And this can be a little bit shocking and surprising. And I know that I think about my mom's mental health growing up, her emotional well-being, and she could have used a lot of self-care. She could have greatly benefited from taking care of herself, because I could see the impact when she didn't take care of herself. It directly impacted me as a child. She was more neglectful. She was more emotionally neglectful. And I'm not saying that if you're not taking care of yourself, you're neglectful. That is not at all what I'm saying. But I am saying that we are so worried about being selfish and actually neglectful that we neglect ourselves in an attempt to be more stronger for our children, more there for our children. And it does you no favors to be depleted. And when I think about my mom, the one thing I do notice a lot, and this I think applies to many of us, especially women who juggle lots of roles, that we tend to look for short-term, quick fixes, like small band-aids to just patch up these small wounds we're having or these little exhaustions we're feeling. And eventually, you just keep using these small, quick fixes, and you get used to this very easy, quick gratification, these really easy hits of dopamine to make yourself feel better when you're sad, or numb yourself out in front of the TV after a long day. And we kind of become reliant on these. And this is what I think people think of when we think of self-care, is like these very instant gratification. Like, I want to feel better, so I'm going to go eat ice cream and overdrink wine and watch a bunch of TV and not think about any of my problems or plan ahead for my day. Like, or maybe it's shopping for you. Maybe that's what gives you a little bit of a high. Or you just search for ways to help your dopamine. For my mother, it was hard drugs and a multitude of other things. But there were all these other areas where, before the hard drugs, that I could see her continuously relying on the wrong things to support her in the long term. And these quick fixes can look like anything: overeating, overdrinking, numbing with TV, scrolling social media for hours. I've been there myself, where I'm literally like on TikTok for like 2 hours, and I'm like, what did I do with my time? And why did I feel like it was productive? Right now, I am seriously examining my relationship with social media, because I took some time off social media and I immediately noticed the difference. And I was like, oh wow, like it was so subtle at first. And then when I went back on social media, I was like, I actually don't want to spend this much time looking at other people's lives. And so I'm right here with you. I'm self-examining my habits. I'm examining my own self-care routines and things that I've kind of let go over the last year. And this is why I am so excited for this episode, because it's going to help you. And I will say before we start that we're already starting, but before I get into all the big things, I don't want you to go through this episode with judgment. I talk about this all the time. I'm going to end up talking about it more in this episode, but really take off the self-judgment. There is nothing wrong with you if you've been ignoring self-care and just been numbing it with TV and TikTok. Like, I have no judgment towards you, and I don't want you to use that against yourself. What I want you to do is just get really curious. I want you to get really interested in yourself, really fascinated with your life and with your habits. And if you come with love and interest and curiosity, you're going to be open to the answers of what you really want in life. We cannot go through these exercises with judgment and shame and guilt and embarrassment, because it only harms you. Like, you're not going to be able to hate yourself through changing any habit. It will never work out in the long run. So put on your curiosity cap. Get very curious in your answers when I ask you questions. Really consider how you can be more curious and understanding in your habits and in your life, and how you want to take care of yourself. Okay. The thing about using these short-term band-aids is that you start to rely on false ways of taking care of yourself. So maybe it's scrolling TV and over drinking, and like maybe you take a lot of baths because you really enjoy baths. And so you kind of lump all of these things in, like, oh, I'm taking care of myself because I do X, Y, and Z. The other thing about this is we're never getting to the real root issue of our needs. We're not actually examining what's important to us. You are often not actually present in the way you want to be. You're there, but you're not there. You're not doing the activities you want to do alone or with your family. You forget what you like, what your needs are, what enriches your life. And in an attempt to not be selfish, you end up displaying selfishness because you're emotionally and sometimes physically unavailable to your own self, right? Like you're doing this to your own self and also to others. So taking care of yourself is not selfish. And the other piece to this is that taking care of other people is not taking care of yourself. I think this is what one of the biggest issues I've had this last year is like I keep putting my kids and like their schedule in front of my needs. And then I keep thinking, well, at least I've done this today and that's all that matters. But in reality, the way I've shown up while taking care of them, while ignoring myself, isn't exactly how I want to show up. Like, I want to be a little bit more present and a little bit more interested and a little bit more energetic. And all these small, subtle ways, I'm like, oh, that's because I've felt depleted, because I've ignored these other things in my life regards to my own needs. And I don't want you to, again, judge yourself. It's just about being very curious. Be like, huh, this is really interesting that I thought taking care of other people was what I needed to feel good. And in reality, I have to take care of myself to feel good so that I can like actually do things in a way that feels good to me when I'm around other people, navigating these relationships. And parenting is freaking hard, my friends. The deeper I get into parenting, the more I'm like, oh, wow, all right. Well, this is interesting. It's just a lot. And it takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of breathing. It takes a lot of self-coaching and coaching in general. I think that taking care of yourself is the key to having energy through parenting. The other piece I think of self-care is that it can be overwhelming because you might not know where to start. You might be like saying, yeah, I do numb with TV and I scroll social media way too much. And there's projects I want to work on and this business I want to start. And there's appointments with my medical daughter that I need to go get done. And there's this thing. And I feel so overwhelmed by all of them that I don't know where to start. And so I've done nothing. And again, this is very normal. When our brain feels very overwhelmed, it wants to shut down. It wants to give up. It wants to throw in the towel. And I'm going to tell you the solution right now. Because if you are overwhelmed with self-care and you're like, yes, I want to be taking care of myself differently. I want to feel differently than I do right now. And I just don't know where to start. Well, the solution is it doesn't matter. Truly, this is the solution. I'm going to share how you can think of different areas in your life in terms of taking care of yourself. But your brain will be tempted to use all this information against you and be like, well, if we can't do all of it, I'm not going to do anything at all. If we can't do everything perfectly, then what is the effing point of doing anything at all? Our brains are like so smart that they're illogical. Like our brains are incredibly advanced and yet sometimes so illogical that it's so funny. It's hilarious. So don't do this to yourself. Don't start being overwhelmed before you've even gotten all the information. And I'm already going to tell you the answer. So if your brain starts to get overwhelmed at any point in this episode, you already know how to solve it. You need to remind yourself that you don't have to do everything all at once. It doesn't matter where you start. It doesn't matter where if you say, okay, I just want to sleep more. I want to have an improved sleeping life. Or I want to have a better bedtime routine where I don't spend 2 hours on my phone and then try to go to sleep and toss and turn. I want to have an actual relaxing evening where I'm feel tired. Like, you need to be honest with yourself, and you just have to pick one area. That's it. Honesty and pick one. There's no wrong or right answer in this situation. Your brain will tell you there is a right answer. And if you don't pick the right answer, everything's going to blow up and explode, and you have to do everything perfectly. That's where your brain is always going to want to go for almost everything. It's not true. Okay? Don't do this to yourself. Do not take an all or nothing approach. Don't let this be a black and white issue. The reason why you're overwhelmed is because you believe you have to figure out everything all at once. And that is a lie. All you have to do is pick one thing. So at the end of the episode, after we've gone through all these different areas and I've brought some different things up to you, get curious, get honest with yourself, and pick something. Okay. The next thing I want you to know about self-care is that it's about the long-term result over short-term gratification. I think I've mentioned this somewhere on the podcast before, but I really want you to think about, like, when you pick whatever you want to pick, whether it's your relationship with social media or exercise or just drinking enough water day to day or sleep or the stress management you have in your life, you're like, yeah, I'm just not good at managing the stress, or the way I've been managing the stress is not working at the moment. Whatever it is, I want you to think of why it's not working and what is the long-term impact that this is having on your life. And if it were to change in the way you want it to be, what is that long-term impact on your life? Like, if it was the ideal version, what would that look like? And how would that be different? And what impact would it have on your life? And I always use sleep as the example because I do believe that no one is prioritizing sleep as much as they need to be. If you were to get a bedtime routine where you limited your social media, you got offline, you did something that was relaxing before bed, you got in bed at a normal time or a regular time, and you had consistent regular sleep. I know some of you have babies and you're like, okay, well, this isn't for me. No, it is for you, because even if you're getting interrupted, you can still have yourself a bedtime. And if you haven't listened to my sleep episode on how to get more sleep, I highly suggest you do, because here's the truth bomb that I tell everyone. Your alone time is not as important as you think it is. Your sleeping is way more beneficial than your alone time. Give yourself 30 minutes of alone time, go to bed an hour earlier. An hour and a half of alone time is not helping you, because then if it was helping you, it would have already helped you. It would have helped you feel better the next day if you had 2 hours of alone time. You never do actually feel replenished, because it's not actually solving the root problem. Staying up 2 hours past your bedtime is short-term gratification and is worth it when it's worth it. Consistently, however, it usually is not worth it, because you are creating the long-term impact of having not enough sleep, which impacts your moods, your metabolism, your emotional status, your irritation level. Like, it impacts almost every area of your life. And it's really easy to just convince yourself that it's not a big deal and that you just need more alone time. And that's the problem. It's not, my friends. Look, I know there are a lot of alternative ways of living out there. If you work nights, for example, or work from home and you have lots of flexible hours, I know there are people who love to work from like 5 till midnight and then stay up till 4 a.m. and then sleep till noon. And like, you do you. Look, I'm not speaking specifically about having to wake up at 7 and go to bed at 7 or whatever. I'm speaking about the regularity of sleep. Having a regular night's sleep of at least 8 hours is what I'm talking about. Whether that's during the day or during night, I don't care. I'm just looking for consistency, because this is something that is in your control. Again, with toddlers, babies who get up in the middle of the night, if you're in a hospital room, this is going to look a little bit different, but there are ways that you can get curious about what you are doing or not doing to help your sleeping routine, to help yourself rest, to help yourself relax in the evenings, to get sleep where you can, even if that means asking for help, trading off with people in the hospital, doing things a little bit differently. Taking nights away from the hospital is possible, even with nurses helping you. Those are available options for you. Maybe you sleep during the daytime because you know you're not going to be able to sleep at night in the hospital. Maybe you do switch your routines up a little bit while you're in the hospital. There are ways to do it. It's not going to be forever. Hospital stays are things that you have to think of like, none of the things I did before outside the hospital have to apply inside the hospital. You get to create and make up your own whole routine because the hospital is a completely different world. And again, this is not an all or nothing rule about like sleeping. I have late nights and sometimes I'll catch myself in a few days in a row staying up too late. And then I feel the impact of that. I start feeling a little bit more irritable and I feel a little bit more snappy and I'm not as easily coachable in my mind. I'm like, oh, these thoughts are very powerful today because of my sleep. And it's always surprising, I think, to people when they start prioritizing their sleep, how much they didn't realize they were tired, how much they didn't realize it was impacting them until they start getting sleep. And I don't want you to think of like, I'm saying you have to just go to sleep every night at the same time. Like, you're in charge of your life. You know what is best for you. But I'm trying to encourage you to take an examining look at the ways you're taking care of yourself, and sleep is just such an important role. Okay. So self-care is not selfish, and it's about the long-term impact and the results that are being created versus the short-term gratification that you might be justifying as quote-unquote self-care, which is typically just a band-aid. It is not actually getting to the root cause. It is not doing what it's supposed to do. And this whole process is a skill because basically all around us is short-term gratification. And your brain loves short-term gratification. This is what your brain is motivated by because your brain wants to feel good, do very little effort, and avoid painful things. And so if it is a little bit uncomfortable, your brain's like, hey, no, that's painful. Let's not do that. I don't want to go to bed right now. I just want to keep watching TV. It's so much better. Let's just sit here, please. Oh, and let's make some snackies. Like, that's how my brain starts. Sounds like snacks, cereal, popcorn. Like, come on. That sounds so great. And I'm like, yeah, it does. Right? So being able to plan ahead is a skill. Being able to make decisions ahead of time is a skill, and avoiding and like being able to stop yourself and being like, okay, short-term gratification, I hear you, I see you, and I don't want you tonight. I know this is a false band-aid. This is not an actual fix to what I'm feeling. And then, you know, it's something that we've been trained through marketing and media. Weight loss programs, watching TV instead of going on the walk you wanted to do. Bath bombs are marketed as like the solution to your stress, which is not necessarily true at all. And like, not only all that, but all types of food are marketed as the solution to happiness. Like, it is all marketed to appeal to that instant dopamine hit we get when we have that short-term gratification, that instantaneous satisfaction. So unlearning this takes time. And the very first step is just noticing and becoming aware of how you are prioritizing short-term gratification in your life. Where is this showing up? And I'm telling you, this is what real self-care is. It's like, where am I choosing the easiest but not actually caring way in my life? And here's the next thing that I want you to know about self-care. Here is how you are going to actually implement it. You ready? You're going to slow down. Yes, that is really the answer. Slow down, my friends. We've got to slow down. You've got to slow down your brain. You've got to slow down your emotions. You've got to slow down your thoughts. You've got to slow down your behavior. Okay, I know some of you, like me, like to be busy, like to do things, like to go out. But you still need to slow down. Stop trying to do all the things. Stop overcommitting to things. When you say yes to something, say yes only after you've looked at your calendar, looked at your entire week, your month, and you've really taken at least several minutes minimum to consider the time it will take you to commit, to prepare for that commitment, to arrange for that commitment. I want you to say yes with your whole heart, even if it makes you nervous, even if it makes you uncomfortable, but you want to do something. Say yes with your whole heart, right? It doesn't need to be like 100% like, oh, I feel 100% positive. Sometimes when we make a decision and we say yes to something, we might feel nervous. Like, I'm doing these freaking adult swim classes, and every time I go, I'm like, I don't want to do this. And every time I leave, I'm like, I'm so glad I did that. It was so uncomfortable, and it's still hard. I don't always have positive feelings about saying yes to the swim class, but I know it's something that's helping me. It's stretching me. It's moving me to a place I want to be. And overall, it's been a great exercise in discomfort. So it's not about being 100% comfortable. It's about just being able to say yes, an honest look at the time commitment. Because you guys are trying to do too many things. When it comes to self-care, you're getting overwhelmed because you're like, okay, great. I need to walk every day and drink a ton of water and sleep 5,000 hours at night. And I need to think positively and I need to work on my body image and I need to not ever watch TV again. Like, we're trying to like go down and like be perfect. That's perfectionism speaking. And perfectionism is fear. Okay, it's fear of failure, it's fear of getting it wrong, it's fear of being a beginner, fear of all the things. So we're going to slow down. We're going to take a nice deep breath and we're going to say, hey, this works for my calendar on this day, not today. Okay, sometimes we have to say yes to a future thing. Like, 2 weeks is better for me than now. And it's hard because women are socialized to say yes to things. If you're a people pleaser, you're more likely to just say yes immediately because you want people to like you and you think saying yes will make them like you. And if you're feeling overwhelmed right now in life and burned out, you have to really slow down. And this is going to feel unnatural. It will feel like panicking a little bit. You're like, wait. If I slow down, I will start to feel things, and I don't want to feel things. And yes, this is the point, my friends. This is how you take care of yourself, by paying attention to you, paying attention to your feelings, to your brain, to your thoughts. Because when you think taking care of people is how I take care of myself, it shows up in these ways. By literally taking care of strangers' needs over your own. If a coworker or an acquaintance or your kid's friend's mom asks for a play date, and you're like, ah, I feel like I should just say yes because that's the right thing to do. It might be right for them, but it might not be right for you. And it's okay to say no. It's okay to slow down and think about it. You could just say, hey, can I have a few, I'll let you know tomorrow so I can have some time to think about it. Or I'll get back to you on that and let you know in a day. This is how you will actually just pick one thing to start. So you can pay attention to yourself, start paying attention to how you're really feeling, so you're not numbing your feelings and buffering your emotions with TV and food and social media, but you're going to be really thinking about you and what you need. And there are always ways we can improve taking care of ourselves. Because life happens and there's just ups and downs. This does start by trying to figure out what you actually want, what you desire, and what you need. When I first started coaching over 3 years ago, I would ask my clients, okay, so what do you want? Most of the time it was, I don't know. Or a client would come and be like, I really just feel like my needs aren't being met. And I'm like, all right, let's talk about them. What are your needs? And it was, I don't really know. And this is the story of so many women, including myself. This last year, I've had like this very emotionally challenging year. And I started realizing, I'm like, wait, I need to back up and focus. I'm like, I've lost sight of what I actually need in my life. And I'm rebuilding that. I'm rebuilding this. Because your needs change And it's okay for you to have thought that you really knew what was working for you a few years ago may not be working for you now. And it doesn't mean failure. It doesn't mean anything negative about you. It just means you've changed. So I learned to ask this differently. And that's what I'm going to try to offer you today. Because sometimes just saying, oh, what are your needs? It's like, everything, nothing, I don't know. So you may not know what you want or what you need. And sometimes motherhood, the general busyness of life, is distracting. So first, I want you to start by asking how you want to feel. How do you want to feel in your life, in all the different areas of your life? So you might have a multitude of answers. Like, how do you want to feel as a mother? How do you want to feel as a medical mom? How do you want to feel as a wife or a partner? How do you want to feel as in your career? How do you want to feel physically, right? How do you want to feel physically? In my consults, I always ask about their physical health. Not because I am a doctor or a physician or anything like that. It's because these basic self-care physical needs, drinking water, healthy movement, sunshine, and sleep are often the most neglected. And so I'm always like, hey, can you just like rate your physical health for me? And many times women will open up to me and be like, yeah, I've actually needed to go refill this medication for myself, but I haven't prioritized it. Or I really need to go to the dentist and I haven't been able to do it. Or I really need to talk to this person and I haven't done it. And it's because they are not believing that taking care of themselves is actually going to help them. And it's just a very common thing for people. And so this is where we tend to neglect ourselves. In an effort not to neglect our kids, we tend to neglect ourselves in these small areas, and they add up over time. And that's why we have to pay attention to that long-term impact of what we're choosing. And self-care means taking care of our physical body. And the one way I love motivating myself with my physical body is thinking of 90-year-old version of me. Is 90-year-old version of me going to benefit from this? Yes, they will benefit from sunshine and water every day and nourishing food and healthy movement. If you want strong, independent bones when you're 90, you got to be moving your body. You have to be getting strong bone density. And sleep helps you with all of that too. How do you want to feel when you're at the doctor's office with your child? How do you want to feel when you are preparing for a cath or a upcoming procedure? How do you want to feel emotionally day to day? Do you feel like you can control that? Do you have any impact on your emotional health? This is self-care, my friends. These are the questions you need to ask yourself so you can be honest and very curious, right? Again, no judgment, just curiosity. You ask yourself, how do you want to feel about who you are? How do you want to feel about yourself on a regular basis? How do you want to think about yourself on a regular basis? How are you thinking about your body on a regular basis? These are all going to impact your confidence and your self-trust. These answers are going to lay the foundation on what you want. And then when you realize how you want to feel, you need to ask yourself what actions I take when I feel that way. Okay, so if you want to feel confident about yourself, right, and just day to day on a regular basis, I want to feel genuinely confident. And sometimes we confuse confidence with arrogance, and I should do an episode on that. But for now, I'm just going to say that confidence is self-trust, knowing you have your own back and that you can experience any emotion and get through it. Whereas self, and that's trusting yourself to have tools to rely on yourself and be like, okay, we're not going to freak out. We know how to feel our feelings. We know how to hold space for ourselves. And when we don't feel like we know how to do that, that's where our brain panics and is like, we're unreliable and let's just be overwhelmed. So, backing up, if you wanted to feel confident, in yourself on a regular basis, like that's your baseline, the next question becomes, what would you be doing if you were feeling confident that in that way every day? Most of the day, like at least 60% of your day, you're feeling pretty confident in yourself. You notice the negative emotions and you're like, yep, we can do this. If you were feeling that way, what would you be doing on a regular basis? What would you be not doing that you might be doing now? What would you be avoiding? What would you be giving up? What would you, right? We can play around with these questions to see what comes up for you. This is just curiosity, right? How would our life be different if we were just this confidence that we really want to feel? Or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's contentment or peace or excitement or motivation or anything, right? Like it's not just confidence, but that's what I do. I teach confidence. And I think that when you ask yourself these questions, it's going to open up so many opportunities for you to see what you want. And then that's how you know what to prioritize. Because if you want to feel confident, and if you felt confident, you would be working more on these side projects you have, then you're like, oh, I'm going to prioritize this. Another way to add on to this is, once we know how we want to feel and what we know what we would do if we felt that way, then we have to ask ourselves, what would we be thinking about ourselves in order to feel confident? What would we be not thinking about ourselves if we were feeling confident? This shows us the contrast of what we are currently feeling and thinking. And this is where we step back. So if we know where you want to be, if you want to feel confident, and when you felt confident, you would do X, Y, and Z. You would be taking a walk daily. You would be going to sleep and getting three things on your to-do list done every day. If you felt confident, what would you need to believe about yourself to feel confident and do those things? Because the root is always going to be your thoughts. It's always going to be your thinking. And those things are always available to you. Your thought, there's no thought police coming after you. There is no one telling you that you have to prove yourself to be confident. But you must think first, because otherwise you're going to not notice all the negative, not confident thoughts about yourself, and it's never going to create confidence. And you could take the exact same actions, going on a walk, doing the things that you say you're going to do, and still feel really shitty and not get the results you want because of how you are thinking about yourself. It's going to be extra exhausting. You're going to lead to burnout. You're going to be hustling and using your willpower to get through the day. And this is why it's so important to know what you want, truly want, not what you think other people think you should want, not what your mom thinks you should want, not what, you know, you think that you think you should want, what you actually want in your life. And an exercise you can do is look at your week. You first, I think you should write down right now, like, what are your 5 priorities for the next 10 years of your life? Like, if you're like, okay, in the next 10 years of my life, or the next year, if you don't want to think too far in advance, like, in the next year of my life, what are my priorities? My relationship with my husband, my business, my weight loss journey, and my, you know, I want to save $50,000 to buy a house, or like, you can just name some things that are important to you. 5 priorities over the next year. And then see how you're spending your time in a week or in a month. How much time are you spending trying to connect with your spouse? How much time are you spending actually meal prepping and not just watching meal prep videos on TikTok? How much time are you spending networking and introducing people and marketing your product or service? How much time are you staying up and not going to bed to improve your health, right? Your priorities versus where you spend your time will tell you greatly about what you think about your about your prioritize, your priorities. So when I think about this, I think about how easy it is to say we want something and not actually do what it takes to get there. And so that's what I mean about being honest. Like, there's no judgment. You don't have to want to have a business. You don't have to want to lose weight. You don't even have to want to advance in your career. But just be honest about it, right? Like, just say, like, I want to prioritize this hobby of mine really well. I want to get really good at pottery, or I just want to have fun at pottery class. I want to take 15 pottery classes a month. I'm only taking one, right? Like, what you want is important. And if you can be honest about what you want, you can start spending your time there and creating the long-term results you want. And it really does start with self-care. The one thing about self-care that comes up a lot on social media is that it's criticized because it's like the answer to things that it is not clearly the answer to. Self-care is not the answer to systemic issues. There are systemic things in our communities that one person cannot solve with a bubble bath. One person cannot solve with drinking enough water. However, I also know from personal experience and just living in the world, you cannot pour from an empty cup. And you personally do not have to solve the world's problems. If we all do a little bit in a different area, things get done. Things happen. Solutions are created. Things are built. You getting 8 hours of sleep 5 nights of the week is not going to change the healthcare system, but it will allow you to face the phone calls you need to make, to advocate for your child for the insurance, maybe even create a support group for people who need help paying for medical bills, volunteering at a nonprofit to help people who don't have insurance, or be very active politically. That sleep is going to allow you to be a better community member. The food you consume, making sure you're eating 3 full meals a day and getting protein in, drinking water, is not going to change the amount of inequity in the world, but it will give you energy to show up fully in your community, volunteer at your kid's school, helping change the future lives who are going to be living in the world, maybe doing a beach cleanup with your family. Those things can impact because you have the energy to do it, because you slept and you prioritized eating a full meal. The water you drink is not going to change climate issues, but it will keep you hydrated and your body healthy, and you matter physically. You matter. And that is the point of self-care, is that you are important. And when you take care of yourself, you are reinforcing the idea that it's not because of how you look, it's not because of what you do or didn't do. You don't just have to earn self-care. You matter because you exist. You matter because you are alive and you deserve to be fed and clothed and nourished. And I know many of you did not get that same care as a child. And I am right there with you, my friends. It sucks to have to reparent yourself and relearn how to take care of yourself as an adult, because you're like, I don't recall this happening to me as a child. It is hard work to unlearn and relearn things, but it is 100% worth it. And I'm right there alongside of you. I have a lot of tools with coaching. And if you are in a position where you want to start prioritizing your self-care, I can help you stop feeling overwhelmed, know what to focus on, and feel better, more confident and capable than you ever have before. Coaching makes things very simple and very straightforward, and we take bite-sized pieces every week that we work together. I've now decided to work with clients for 3 months. It's the minimum amount of time I've decided to work with you. I do prefer 6 months, but I'm starting to make an exception because I understand that some of you are intimidated about the 6-month commitment. So I have decided that 3 months, we can do a lot of work in 3 months, meeting together each week for an hour over Zoom. So if you would like to know more about this, do not hesitate to reach out for a consult. I'll leave my link in the show notes. for the podcast, as well over on Instagram. And if you don't see any links, please DM me. All right, my friends, I will be back next week with your next episode. Bye-bye. Welcome to Mindset for Medical Moms. I'm your host, Courtney Given, fellow medical mom and life coach. I'm here to help you handle everything from doctor's appointments to surgery so you can feel confidence and peace as you navigate the ups and downs of medical motherhood. This podcast will share strategies and real life tools to strengthen your mindset and increase your emotional resilience. I'm so glad you're here. Let's go.